Let's be encouraged by the Word of God, my friends. Hopefully, whenever the Word of God is open, as you hear, you know, the message, may it not be myself. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. There's nothing special in and of myself. I'm just some other guy. But it's God's precious Word that we get to hear from. And it's my desire, our prayer, that God would speak to us from His Word. Remember, whenever we open the Bible, it is an encounter with Jesus Christ. It's such an awesome thing. And so let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. This is, you know, the famous, you know, passage of where Solomon is going to ask God for an understanding heart, i.e. wisdom. And so, you know, we all know about the wisdom of Solomon. This is how it kind of got started. But the title of tonight's message, An Understanding Heart. An Understanding Heart. And of course, as we read this historical, you know, story, may it have ever present application to you and I. Remember, God's Word is timely and it's also timeless. And so as we read this, may God speak to us because, yeah, Solomon got wisdom, good for him. Well, the takeaway is, may we desire God's wisdom. Okay, so an understanding heart. Let's go to verse 9, 1 Kings chapter 3. Let's go to verse 9, and this is what Solomon, you know, he requests, so his prayer request to God. He says this, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And so Solomon, of course, is taking over as king from his father David. And Israel is a great, great nation. And he's like, how am I going to do this? Lord, I need help. And so with that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, what a blessing, Lord, to be in thy house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the weather that you cleared it up for us to be here to praise you and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And Father, through your word now, speak to us and help our hearts to be as Solomon, at least here, Lord, to desire you and your truth, your wisdom. And Father, we ask that you would just encourage all who are here, lift up those who are here, Lord, and just thank you for your love and your ever presence. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Always try to apply what we read in Scripture, and it's easy at first glance that we say, well, okay, if I'm ever going to be, you know, taking over as king, I'll read this. No, I mean, and certainly we can be. Yeah, we're not there in that sense, okay? But understand it this way. Solomon felt certainly overwhelmed. He certainly felt not up to the task at hand. He certainly felt way over his head, way too big a shoes to fill. Of course, King David, his legendary dad, okay, such a godly man. And David, of course, is the you know, the gold standard of godly kings for the whole Judah. And whenever there was a king, he was compared to King David. And so that's the gold standard. And so how is Solomon now going to measure up? And so he certainly felt inadequate. And so when we think of all the emotions that Solomon's going through, just being overwhelmed and just not up to the task, all of a sudden, perhaps we can relate more to it. Okay? And so if we ever feel burdened, troubled, this is for us. And by the way, if you're saved, you're a child of the king. So not too far off from Solomon, a child of the King of Kings. And so, of course, we've been commissioned by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, to expand his kingdom, right? To labor for the kingdom of God. And so what a humbling thought. And in fact, if you consider Solomon as the king, being king and the ruler of Israel, yet asking God for wisdom, that can, in and of itself, that much more be an example for us. In other words, if Solomon was doing it as a king, how much more the rest of us, peasants. No, I mean, the rest of us, you know, children of God, you know, and we know how much God has blessed Solomon. I mean, we know it's all coming. We've read the stories before. He's going to be an empire of gold. He's going to be so prosperous because of his wisdom. And so why won't I want to have that wisdom that Solomon did, right? Why wouldn't I likewise ask God for wisdom? And so, you know, and always apply what we read in Scripture as God speaking to us. And it really hits home. There's a lot tucked into just this verse 9. We can kind of unpack it, sure. A couple of things. Number one, or truth number one, if you will, we cannot effectively serve God without discerning good and bad. That was what Solomon desired. It says, give therefore thy servant. The idea is he doesn't call himself a king, even though he's going to be a king. He knows he's talking to God, the king of the universe, the king of kings. And so he is therefore a servant. And the only way that he can serve, the only way that any one of us can serve effectively is if we can discern, in other words, can tell the difference, know the difference, understand the difference between good and bad. And so without this, how can Solomon judge righteous judgment? In other words, make wise decisions, good decisions. We can't. Think of an employee who can't tell between a good product or a defective product. That's not good, right? you don't want that person as your quality control person, right? And so you want someone that can tell the difference between meeting specs and not meeting specs. And or think of a Christian who can't tell between a good and bad decision. Discernment, having this gift of discernment allows us to distinguish, tell apart between truth and error. I mean, this is huge. You know, if we can't discern between truth and error, what are we going to believe? What are we going to follow? How are we going to live? It would help us discern between holy and unholy to ultimately know and do God's will. Now, Solomon, as the king, the newly minted king, truth of the matter is he didn't really need to ask for wisdom, right? As the king, he's really top dog. He could really do whatever he wants. That, like many of the other wicked kings of Israel, they just did whatever they wanted. And so he didn't have to do it. It's good that he did, and he should have done it, but I'm glad he did. But because Solomon wanted to do God's will, and it starts with that desire, he wanted to do God's will, and we know that because he calls himself a servant. A servant does what his master wants. And this is huge because it's not just about sincerity. I'm all about sincerity, but sincerity is insufficient to effectively serve God. You can be so sincere. You could be the best employee and want to churn out the best product. But if you can't read the specs or can't follow the instructions and can't discern between good and bad product, you're still going to make mistakes and you won't make a good product, even though you really want to. Okay, so you got to sincerely want it. Don't get me wrong. You got to be sincere. And God looks upon the heart and he wants us to be sincere. And Solomon was already sincere. But he wanted to have discernment to tell between good and bad. Otherwise, he cannot effectively serve. That's a big aha, right? It's not just being sincere. We have to have discernment. Otherwise, we cannot effectively serve God if we can't discern between good and bad. Simple truth number one, right? And then the follow-up truth number two through that, we cannot discern between good and bad. Well, surprise, surprise, we cannot discern between good and bad without an understanding heart, which is wisdom. Solomon calls it here, or Scripture calls it here, an understanding heart. In other words, a heart that truly gets it, truly knows God's wisdom and can apply it to the situation at hand in whatever circumstances. And it's not so much an understanding head, okay, or an understanding brain. He's asking for an understanding heart. Because I might intellectually know that, I don't know, drugs are bad for me. I might even believe that, you know, heroin is bad for me. But if I still take it, shoot up, well, then my heart doesn't get it. And so the idea is when Solomon says he wants an understanding heart, it's not just to know it intellectually. It means he wants to be won over to that way of thinking. He wants to agree with God. What God says, I don't just know what God says. And sometimes, you know, I go back to the employee on the assembly line. You might know what your boss wants. But sometimes, you know, in my pride, I just disagree. I'm going to do it this way. You know, so I know what he wants. But I have an understanding mind, but not an understanding heart. Understanding heart meaning you don't just know it intellectually, you actually are for it. You actually are won over by it. You agree with it. You're right there, you see it, and you can apply it, and you do it, and you desire to do it. And so that's huge. And Solomon knew that he needed wisdom that he did not have. Okay, just to kind of set the stage here, if you go to verse 7 with me, Solomon is talking, he's praying to God. And Solomon says, "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father." So he, you know, he's already king. But look at what he says. "And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And so in his prayer, and by the way, this is his very personal prayer time, okay? And so he's not going to get embarrassed of his friends listening in. You know, he doesn't have to worry about, you know, anyone else eavesdropping. He's all by himself talking to God. And when we talk to God, we can just let it all out. Okay, God knows anyway. But the idea is we can let our guard down. And Solomon is saying, don't let my staff know, but I have no idea what I'm doing, God. Okay, I try to put on a good show. Everyone says, hey, yeah, Solomon, yeah, he can take the baton from David and lead us to glory. Yeah, that's great. And Solomon, meanwhile, he's shaking, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just a kid. I'm just a rookie. I'm just a novice. I don't even know how to go out or go in. Where's the door? You know, he's just completely lost. But I understand this. Here's the context. He knows he needs wisdom, and he knows he doesn't have it, right? In fact, to appreciate Solomon's situation, circumstance a bit better, let's go to chapter 2 here. Chapter 2, same book, 1 Kings. But you go to chapter 2, let's go to verse 5. Because when Solomon took over from King David, he didn't just get the kingdom. He also inherited some of Dad's unresolved problems, okay? And so look at verse 5 and 6. Chapter 2, 1 Kings. Look at verse 5 and 6. And one of these problems was Joab, King David's general. So he's kind of a big shot. There was some shady things at Joab, some good things, but he also did some questionable things. And he also did some pretty horrific murders. He was a murderer of two people here when it was a time of peace, and he murdered them anyway. But let's go to verse 5. It says, moreover, David is talking to Solomon. And so this is before David passes on the kingdom to Solomon, and he tells his son, moreover, thou knowest also that what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me. And Zeruiah is his is David's sister. So this is David's nephew, who's his general Joab, which I think that's, is it cousins of Solomon? Don't know, you know, but yeah, that's relation, okay? But, and so this is kind of a tough, sensitive area, and he's telling Solomon justice needs to be done. And what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and to Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, that is, murdered. He murdered them in cold blood and shed the blood of war in peace when they were having a time of truce. He killed them anyway. And put the blood of war upon his girdle that was upon his loins and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore, now this is David giving Solomon this charge, do therefore according to what? Thy wisdom. And so David is telling Solomon, you know, Joab, you know what, you know, he's a murderer. Son, you're going to murder in your cabinet. Okay, I just want you to know, I never quite got around to resolving it. But Solomon, use your wisdom. You got this. And Solomon's like, wait, what? What? Dad, I don't know what to do. And let not his whorehead go down to the grave in peace. Don't let him get away with it. And so this is David tasking his tender son, Solomon, take care of Joab. Use your wisdom, Solomon. And it's not just that. It goes on. There's one more gentleman that he brings up in verse 8. That's Shimei. And so that's one of his citizens. But he cursed David with a bloody curse. And when David was fleeing from Absalom. Let's go to verse 8. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim, when he fled. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. When David came back triumphantly, Shimei came out and begged for mercy, and David said, I won't kill you. And so look at verse 9. Now therefore, hold him not guiltless. And so Solomon, you know what to do. For thou art a what? Wise man. Now this is in chapter 2, okay? He doesn't get the wisdom to chapter 3, okay? But what I'm saying is, no pressure, right? David is telling Solomon, Solomon, you got this. Use your wisdom to resolve these issues. In fact, look what it says here. For thou art a wise man, verse 9, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. Right, Solomon? You know what you got to do? And so, if I'm Solomon, I'd be like, what, Dad? But Dad says, but his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with what? Blood. He deserves the death penalty, Solomon. Now, I said I won't kill him. And so, Solomon, I want you to kill him, but don't kill him. All right, you're going to kill him? Just don't kill him, okay? And Solomon's like, what, Dad? And Dad says, it's okay, son. You're a wise man. Use your wisdom. Take care of business. And of course, then Dad passes. And then, of course, that leads up to Solomon asking God, say, Lord, I have no idea how to do this. And the application to you and I, my friends, sometimes, as much as we hate it, we all need our Joabs and Shimei moments where we are just beside ourselves, when we just think, well, how do I get out of this mess? How do I get out of this jam? And we all need our Joab and Shimei moments because it makes us lean on God. He's the only way out. He's the only answer. Because with God, all things are possible. Praise God. I mean, Lord, I need a miracle. And which leads me to point number three, that we can only get an understanding heart from who? From God. And if we see what's so amazing is, if we see what God's wisdom did for Solomon, let's go to chapter 4 in 1 Kings. So just kind of fast forwards here. I want us to understand just what God's wisdom did for and to Solomon. So 1 Kings 4, towards the end of the chapter, verse 30. Now look at this, verse 30 here. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country. So he's got the highest IQ in the area, in the land. And all the wisdom of Egypt. Again, Egypt was the kind of the gold bar, the gold standard of wisdom. They were very advanced, but he trumped the smartest people in Egypt. Verse 31, for he was wiser than all men. Wow, none wiser than Solomon. Even Ethan, the Ezrahite. Now, Ethan is accredited to writing Psalm 89. And Heman, who was also accredited to Psalm 88. And Kelkal and Darda, these are notable, you know, intellectuals in that time in Israel, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs. Wow, that's great. Sometimes I go to a conference, if I get one liner, I'm happy. Okay, anyway, he's got 3,000 proverbs. And his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowls and of creeping things and of fishes. He saw the wisdom and the glory and everything, God's majesty in all creation. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Well, he was a attention getter. I mean, you know, everyone just flocked to him because of his wisdom. For all kings, not just peasants, kings too, of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. And so he was renowned because of his wisdom, just merely one chapter later, right? And so can you just imagine if they sat down for a one-on-one interview with King Solomon, what a headliner that would be. Tonight, 6 o'clock, exclusive, only on Israel, I don't know what, you know, just Solomon one-on-one, you know. And imagine the interviewer asking Solomon, you're so wise, how did you do it? Did you hit the books real hard? Did you burn the midnight oil? Did you go to school for 30 years and graduate with 12 PhDs? And Solomon says, no, God gave it to me. If you go to verse 29, chapter 4, it says, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart. In other words, he got everything. That what God had, he got. Even as the sand that is on the seashore. And so Solomon says, no, God gave it to me. And the interviewer goes, what? No way. How did God give it to you? And Solomon goes, I asked for it. If you go back to chapter 3 with me, and if you go to verse 5, Scripture tells us, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. Of course, leads up to verse 9 when Solomon asked to get an understanding heart or wisdom. Now, there's little context here for us to appreciate. God doesn't come just to Solomon out of the blue. In verse 4, Solomon had just done worshiping God. And this is how much he worshiped God. Now, this is pre-wisdom Solomon, okay? But talk about sincerity. He had it. He just lacked the wisdom, and now that he got it in verse 9, then he's the whole package, okay? But this is verse 4. He had the sincerity. And the king, that's Solomon, went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. That is the heart and essence of true worship. It is sacrifice. It is giving. It's not taking, it's giving. For that was the great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings that Solomon offered upon that altar. I can't imagine the priest like, Solomon, is this enough? Normally we only do 12. No, let's do more. We got 50. Keep going. 100? Keep going. 1,000 offerings. Now he did this because he truly, sincerely wanted to worship God. And God responds to sincere worship. It's got to be sincere. Sincere faith moves God, and this is what Solomon did. So there's a little context here. I want us to understand. And God came to him and asked what he wanted. We must realize that true wisdom, as Solomon did, is not from ourselves. It is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Now, here's the wonderful thing. God wants to give it. I hope we want to receive it. I need this. Lord, without you, the Joabs and Shimeis in my life will tear me down. Lord, I need you. I need your wisdom. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. There's a wonderful kind of an aha here, speaking about wisdom and Christian maturity. But let's go to Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 5 and then verse 14. Hebrews 5 and then verse 14. Having God's wisdom is of course, how we mature spiritually. And this verse alludes to that. Hebrews 5:14 says this, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. So not babies in Christ, but veteran Christians, mature Christians. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So kind of the same thing as an understanding heart to discern good and bad. They have it. And the idea they've been exercising their senses. Now, these senses here in verse 14, these are not our physical senses, which are, what is it? They're all in our face. Eyes, nose, ear, tongue, skin, right? So these senses are not our physical senses on how we perceive the world. These are our spiritual senses of how we perceive God, right? Perceive the Spirit. This is huge because how we perceive God, if God is our everything, then of course we are what? Nothing. If God is everything, we are nothing, and then all we have comes from God. Senses exercise here, meaning the mature Christians continually depend on God. They continually depend on God, and we must depend 100% on God. And Christian maturity, actually, when you think about it, is completely opposite and flip-flop from physical maturity, right? As we mature physically, as we mature in the world, we become more and more what? Independent, right? As we mature as adults, and then we don't need mom and dad anymore. We can't, you know, they can't claim us as dependents on their taxes. I mean, you get what I'm saying? As we mature as people in the world, we become more independent from our parents. But in spiritual maturity, it's completely opposite. The more a Christian matures, guess what? The more they depend on God. The more they depend on God. When we are young, we think we can do everything on our own, fall flat on the face, face plant, humble ourselves, learn from it, draw closer to God. As we mature in our walk with God, a mature Christian realizes everything needs to be dependent on God. We are complete dependent on God. God, I'm his dependent, okay? Every single thing, I need to depend on God. It starts with our salvation. Our salvation, of course, we depend on God. That's why Jesus says, if you come to him, you've got to come as a child. If you don't come as a child, you cannot get saved because a child is a dependent. That's the idea. You believe in Jesus, you depend in Jesus for your salvation, for your forgiveness. It's all on him, not on us. And then we live that same way. And so as we mature spiritually, we draw closer to God, not just relation-wise and fellowship, but also our dependence. And what God said to Solomon said, hey, Solomon, ask what you would want. Jesus says the same thing to all of us when he says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jesus wasn't talking about, you know, that new Corvette. He's talking about the wisdom of God. He's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. If we seek after what God wants to give us, He will give it to us, but He wants us to seek it. Do we believe this? Solomon did. He sure did. And now remember Joshua's failure with the Gibeonites? Though he thought he was showing mercy to this faraway tribe, and so normally it is a good thing to show mercy, except he ended up getting deceived. And why? Well, if you go to Joshua chapter 9 with me, kind of a flashback here. Let's go to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. And again, this was after victory over Jericho, victory over Ai, even though they stumbled there with Achan, right? He took off the accursed thing, but they won after that. They got right. They expelled the sin. Let's go to Joshua chapter 9. And then verse 14, this is what the Bible tells us. The men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. This is one of the few times where Joshua and his peers did not depend on God for as they did for Jericho. And of course, they were deceived and they did what they should not have done, made a bad decision. They could not discern with the deception of the Gibeonites. Now, the Gibeonites just came as they are. They would have been found out. But a lie, of course, is not exposed as a lie. It's disguised as a truth. They faked their moldy bread. They faked the torn up rags of their clothes, and they put on, so they made an appearance that they came from a faraway land. And Joshua, without consulting God, could not discern good or bad. Like that worker, employee, who can't tell defective product or good product. And so they just went with it. Sounds good. Make a deal. And God's going to hold them accountable to that deal. But they did not consult the Lord. And God had been speaking to Joshua. God spoke to Joshua before that. We know that God certainly would have told Joshua, like, no, Joshua, thanks for checking in. They're the Gibeonites. Destroy them. I mean, it could have been just like that. But he didn't consult with the Lord. And may that not be our mistake, my friends. As we mature in God, we need to draw closer to Him, to depend on Him 100% of the time. And just as Joshua should have sought counsel from the Lord, today God still gives us counsel. It's in His Word. Always seek His Word. And then last but not least, point number 4, asking God for an understanding heart. At the end of all this, it pleases God. So let's go back to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 3, let's go to verse 10. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10, and the Bible says, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked these things. He didn't ask, of course, for riches or for fame or for honor. He got it all anyway as bonus because God was so happy that he didn't ask for it. He just asked for wisdom. So He gave him wisdom and everything else anyway. I mean, what a combo. But when we ask God for wisdom, for His truth, it delights God. And God may not give us worldly riches like Solomon, okay, from that standpoint, but an understanding heart will always produce true riches. And so I want to recap for us real quick here. Number one, we cannot effectively serve God without discerning between good and bad. That's a no-brainer. Number two, we cannot discern between good and bad without an understanding heart. Number three, we can only get an understanding heart from God. And then number four, asking God for an understanding heart pleases Him. What a blessing. Solomon asked it in a prayer, and we'll do that tonight as well. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in Thy house tonight, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. And Father, I ask that You be glorified in all that is said and done. Bless the prayer time to come. And Father, we are so thankful for the great salvation through Jesus Christ. We confess that we are nothing. We are less than nothing. But Father, we are just sinners saved by grace. We love You, Lord. Thank You for Jesus' shed blood on Calvary's cross. Let us not forget His agony, but let us also not forget His resurrection and the victory. And so, Father, bless tonight's prayer time, that we come to You in sincerity. We do ask for wisdom, Lord. Give us an understanding heart to discern between good and bad. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.